Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. And the reason I tell this story, friends, you know, on the beginning of the broadcast, I want you to know that God did something in my life. He truly delivered me from the curse of alcoholism. There's millions of alcoholics in the world today. The message is not AA. The message is Jesus. Yes, it's a higher power, but he has a name. His name is Jesus. And he's the only one, my friend, that can get you into heaven. Now, that's what God sent Christ in the world to do, is die for sinners like you and me. And that he knew that God would deliver the people from the bondage of sin, alcoholism, drug addiction, sex addiction, whatever it is, he can deliver you if you trust him. Well, listen, I'll be with you for half an hour tonight. I wish you'd just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour your glass of iced tea or a hot cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Here's our thought for the day. Can you remember when daycare centers were called home? Well, tonight we'd like to speak on the subject home sweet home. And I'm reading to you from Luke, the 8th chapter and the 39th verse. Return to thine own house, and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done for him. Now I want to read to you also from Mark 5:1-5. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, under the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwellings among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and her tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Well, friends, this is a sad story of a demon-possessed man. And you know what? I can really relate to this man. Being in alcoholism, I know how he felt. It's the most terrible feeling in the world to wake up somewhere and you don't know where you are or where you've been and think, oh, what have I done? What have I done? But this man actually lived in a cemetery. Now, I don't think that's a very good place, man. A man who was in self-destructive. A man who was really uncontrollable. Well, Jesus demonstrates his power over Satan. The man was set free from his tormentors. He was calm and clothed in his right mind. The Lord sent him home to show what had happened to him. Why Jesus sent the delivered man home? Oh, beloved, listen to me. It is very difficult after you're saved to live a Christian life in your home, even if they are Christians. It's very difficult to do. And especially when coming out of the life that I came out of, because no one really believed me. I had to do more than just say I'm saved. I had to prove it by, first of all, quitting drinking, going to church, studying my Bible, getting baptized, and doing all the things that a Christian's supposed to do after they're saved. So many times I've been accused, being a Baptist, well, you people, you sure talk about baptism a lot. Well, baptism can't get you into heaven. I don't care how many times or how many ways that you get baptized. It won't get you into heaven. The man on the cross said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into the kingdom. He never went to church. He never heard another sermon. He never joined a church. And he was never baptized, but he went to heaven. Now you say, well, then what's the importance? The importance is in an act of obedience. The Lord told us to be baptized to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus himself was baptized. Now he surely wasn't lost. Home is a first frontier of the Christian faith. Now, Noah won his family to the Lord in Genesis 6:7. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. A lot of people have to struggle with that, but you see, friends, God cannot tolerate sin. And that's why he went on the cross when he turned his back on Jesus. And Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The reason that God forsaken his son was because he could not look upon sin. And Jesus became sin. Ours took your and I sin, became sin, and God cannot look upon it. Well, Joshua, as for me and my house, Joshua 24:15, as if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, and whether the gods, with a small g, which your fathers served, that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods, with a small g, of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Boy, oh boy, do you feel that way? You see, sometimes our houses are divided. Sometimes a wife is not surrendered. And you know, that's one of the problems that many pastors face after they surrender to preach. I know this in my own family. My wife was very happy when she found out that God had called me to preach. That is, until we got to Bible college. And then she realized that she didn't want to share me with the world. And she was very rebellious. And one night she said, I remember the night too. She got up out of bed and she went in the other room and she got down her knees and she prayed practically half the night. And finally she came back to bed. She said, it's okay, you can go ahead and preach. She was not me, it was her. She didn't want me to be a preacher. And that happens. Many pastors have that problems. I know a pastor of a large church that I preached a revival in Dallas, Texas. And his wife was rebellious from day one. And, well, did you know what happened? And the pastor was wrong. He left her, run off, and they never did ever see him again. Had she been more concerned about her husband's ministry, it might have been a different story. Well, Cornelius gathered his family to hear Peter, and in Acts 10:24, and the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, called together his family and his friends, so that they could hear the story of Jesus. Listen, Cornelius, this is a strange story. Cornelius was a godly man. He gave to the poor. He prayed always. But friends, he was still lost in his sin. There's a song my quartet sings. Do you know the Lord or do you just know about him? You got to know him in your heart. You just say, well, I know Jesus. But you know what? You can't say that Jesus is your Savior except the Holy Spirit give it to you. And I want you to know, friends, that today there are a lot of good moral people in America. Well, maybe I shouldn't say a lot, but there are a few. I know some people that as moral can be, but they're lost. Now, Cornelius had all the attributes of a Christian, but he wasn't. So he sent for Peter, and Peter went down there, and he preached unto him Jesus. Oh, dear friends, that's the only message that'll get you into heaven, Jesus Christ. That's why I'm so down on these preachers that are not preaching Jesus. They talk about all the good things and namers and claimers. Oh, you just speak it and that'll happen. Now, you might be sick on your deathbed, but a namer and claimer say, how do you feel? Oh, I'm fine. By him saying that, he's supposed to get well. That's a bunch of bugaboo. And I'll tell you something else, dear friends. Don't you never forget this. You, no matter how many doctors are in your room, when you go to be with the Lord or when you die, they cannot stop that. If that's the time that you and I are to go, we will go. Well, you remember the Philippian jailer and his family? Well, Paul and Silas were there in jail, and they beat the tar out of them. I mean, they physically beat them up. Well, so the jailer walked out of the prison, and Paul said, you know, Silas, remember that song we sang over at so-and-so, Corinthian, or where it was? Sure, well, let's start singing. So those two guys start singing and praising the Lord and thanking the Lord for allowing them to suffer for him, for the cause of Christ. If we suffer with him, we shall reign with him. Well, God was so pleased to see those wonderful preachers in that prison that he sent an earthquake that shook that ground and shook all the doors off the cells. Well, all they had done was get up and walk out, but not anybody left. Well, the jailer heard the commotion, and he run back in there, man alive, fully expecting them to be gone. And then he went to Paul and Silas' cell, and he fell on his knees. He said, good sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Wasn't that simple? Believe on, trust, rely upon. Turn your back on the old way of life. Repent, receive. It's as simple as that, and yet it's pretty difficult. It was even difficult for me the morning I was saved. I knew what a no good bum I was. And what a stinking drunk. I knew I was all those things. And then the preacher did finally ask me, he said, well, Cecil, do you believe you're a sinner? I said, most assuredly, I'm a sinner. Well, now it reads in Acts 16:34, and when he had brought them unto his house, he set meat before them, and rejoice, believing God with all his house. The jailer took those two men home. He said, I want you to tell my family what I did. And that's the important thing. After you're saved, you need to tell your brothers, your sisters, your mom. Well, and on this I've said before, it is most difficult to be Christ-like at home. At home, our witnesses stands or falls. Well, let me ask you, how strong is our testimony at home? I know there's times that I sure did some dumb things. Many times I've done things. But you know, the very first thing that came into my mind the morning I accepted Christ was my two lost brothers. I couldn't get them off my mind, and my stepmother, who I detested. But you know what? Years later, I had the privilege of going to my stepmother's home, putting my arm around her, and I hugged her, and I kissed her, and I told her I was sorry that we could not get along. Now, she never told me she was sorry for all the beatings and lyings and things she did on me. But she didn't have to. I had to forgive her first, and I did. And then my brothers, I started writing letters to them and started sending them gospel tracts and did everything I could, but they didn't want no part of me. They said he was a stupid drunk, now he's a crackpot. I am not a crackpot. I had peace with God. My names had been written in the Lamb Book of Life, and I knew that when I died, I was going to heaven. Home is a place to glory in the good things of God. Show what great things the Lord hath done to thee. That's what he told his demoniac. The demoniac, after Jesus saved him out there in the island of Gadara, and they were going back to the ship to go back somewhere else, and Jesus turned around, and here, lo and behold, here was his demoniac paddywhacking behind him. He said, "Where are you going?" "Oh," he said, "I want to follow you, Jesus." Well, sure he wanted to follow Jesus. He'd been delivered. Demons had been cast out of him. He had a right mind. Why shouldn't he want to follow Jesus? But Jesus said, "No, son. You go home and you show what great things the Lord hath done to thee." Do you major on your blessings at home? Do loved ones see a genuine Christian? Oh, friends, there's nothing worse than a hypocrite. And we've all been hypocritical time. I have. Maybe I'm the only one that ever has. Maybe I'm the only preacher you ever heard confess that. But I'm not perfect. But bless your soul, I am forgiven. Are you known at home for faith or for fault finding? And sometimes we are guilty of that too. Finding fault instead of praising the Lord for the faith that he's given us. Do you appear holy at church and hateful at home? We've all done that too, haven't we? Are you saintly at church and sour at home? We've all done that, haven't we? You say, "Why are you bringing those things up?" Because they're true. Let's face the facts. We're not perfect, but we are forgiven. Are you gracious at church and grouchy at home? Now, those are things that we need to think about. Is your home a place of praise or of pouting? Have we ever done that? Have you ever pouted? I have. And I'm ashamed of it, but I have. Do you glory in the goodness of God at home? Home is the outpost for outreach with the gospel of Christ. This man started at home and he spread the word. That's what happened. You know, I think I told you that maybe I didn't. Years ago on a rescue mission somewhere in the United States, this old fella, he'd been an alcoholic for years, and God saved him one night in the mission. And the next day he went into the director and he says, "You know, I'm not much, but, you know, I would sure like to tell people what Jesus has done for me, but I don't know how." And the director said, "I'll tell you what to do. I'm going to go down and have a sandwich board made for you, and I'm going to put it across your sandwich thing in the back and one in the front." He said, "I'm going to put on it, 'I'm a fool for Christ's sake,' and on the back, I'm going to put, 'Whose fool are you?'" And he walked up and down the street, proud as could be, because sure the world thought he was an idiot. Sure they did. Hey, listen, after I was saved, my friends and my neighbors turned against me like you can't believe, because I used to drink with them, see? Now, "Oh, you think you're better than me because you don't drink." No, I don't think I'm better. They let the air out of my tires and my truck, and they do things to hurt me. But, you know, every time I saw them, I'd smile at them and I'd wave at them
let them know I had something. And I wasn't better than they were. The only difference was God had saved me and delivered me from alcohol, and they were still in alcoholism. But I do know one thing. They watched me like a hawk. You know what, friends? One morning, I was headed by this bar that I used to drink, and my old truck used to be pretty loud. And so the bartender run out and stopped me in the middle of the street. He said, "Mo, you know, I hear you quit drinking." I said, "That's right, sir. I sure did." Well, he said, "You know, you got a check in here for $7 that was no good. And would you like to make it good?" I said, "Absolutely." And I gave him the $7. And you know what he did? He stuck his arm in the kind of the cab and gave me a hug. And he said, "Mo, I'm very proud of you. I hope that you go on with this." Now, many, many, many years later, I was in that town showing my film at a large church. And I had a few hours to kill, so I thought I'd go down and I walked into this bar that I drank in for years. Walked into that bar, and I noticed this guy. He seemed very familiar, but now this is years later. And he said, "What could I do for you?" I said, "Give me a tomato juice on the rocks." He brought me out a tomato juice. I says, "Do you own this bar?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "Have you owned it all along?" "Oh, yeah, I've always had this bar." I said, "Do you remember me?" "No, I don't think so." "Oh," I said, "I'll tell you then." One night, a young man came in with a pistol, laid it on the counter with a box of shells, and said, "I need a drink now." He said, "Mo, the mad roofer, he remembered me." "Oh, Cease," he said, "I'm so glad to see." I told him I was showing my movie. I gave him my book. And I let him know that what he said, "I bless you and I hope you stay sober." Well, Christian homes should be lighthouses. Communities should know where Christians live. Neighborhoods should be evangelized. Families should be brought to Christ, and reaching the world one community at a time. Well, listen, friends, when Jesus returned, multitudes awaited him. Now, where's verse 40? Let me find it here. "And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him." Well, friends, one man has been faithful at home, and many believed. Let's make our homes mission stations. Obey Christ's call for a Christian living at home. We could all pay attention to that. We certainly could. You say, "Cease, I'll tell you what, I got a problem. I don't know I'm going to heaven." You don't? Now, the Bible said it's written that you may know that you pass in death unto life. Well, you can know tonight. Do you have a little tugging at your heart, thinking about it? Say, "Well, I don't know, Cease. I'm not saved." Tonight you can be, if you're willing to turn your back on the old way of life. The Bible said the Spirit of God will knock on your heart. And if he's knocking tonight, you need to respond. And you can pray this powerful prayer. It's only words. If you don't repent, it's just words. But if you're godly sorry for your sins and want to turn your back on the old way of life, here's a prayer that can change it. Kind Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins tonight, Lord, and I do confess that I'm a sinner. Tonight, Lord, the best way I know how, I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Beloved, if you prayed that prayer, get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I'll not embarrass you. I'll not sit down and write and ask you for any money. Don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. Now listen, friends, if you can't afford to call, you call me collect. I'll accept the charge. You say, "You might be crazy, Mo." No, I'm not crazy. I've been doing this for 40 years on radio. And I want you to know I am concerned. 303-471-8534. I am waiting for your call.
Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you, dear ones, for listening. You know, you always hear me say, would you pray for me and my family and my wife? And my wife and I both got so many doctor appointments this last couple of weeks. We're still struggling. We're still trusting. You know, God is a great physician and a great healer. Sometimes he heals, sometimes he doesn't. But there's nothing that he cannot do. Nothing is impossible with Almighty God. No matter what your problems are today, no matter what your burdens are today, God can help you if you turn to him and trust him. Well, friends, until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.